Praise the Lord. And I think the study is up already, isn't it? There it is. Shabbat Shalom. We're here. You didn't do the do. Shabbat Shalom. That does sound good in here, you know. The echo is perfect. Well, we are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chad B'Mashiach, just a little piece of Adat Yisrael, and we're here today on the Shabbat. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, wash us in your holy blood, Lord and God, of any sin, any blemish, any spot, anything that would separate us from a holy living God. We know you're holy, Lord and God, and this world is not holy at all. Bless and anoint, Lord and God, this Shabbat. I pray, Lord and God, you bless the study. Let it benefit everyone in some way, some manner. Bless and anoint, Lord and God, everyone here. Strengthen them, heal them, touch them. Lord and God, I just thank God for the blood of Yeshua. I thank God for the Word of God. And I thank God we're alive at this time in this generation that we could somehow get your Word out. Show us how to get it out more, Father. Direct us, lead us, give us the choices we need and the right decisions. Heavenly Father, bless this Sabbath and bless everyone around the world that's in the body of Messiah. Bless everyone on the internet today. May God touch you. May the Holy Spirit be with you today in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Well, let's look at this. Today is March 5th, 2016. Okay? And time is just ticking by. Isn't it weird? By the way, this is the first Sabbath in the month of March, and there's what March is. What's really weird is here's what Mars is the Roman god of war. He's identified with the Greek god Ares. You could look that up on the net, who that is. But that's where we get the name March from, Mars. The month of Mars. Isn't that weird? That's terrible. However, we bring it to focus God's calendar. We're in the 25th day of Adar. I guess in a few days, when the Rosh Chodesh comes, we'll find out if there's a leap year. And at the moment, we're still in Adar. And there's what Adar has been. It's the 12th month of God. It's glorious. My ministry is a teaching ministry. You guys all know that. Oh, there's the website. I'm really happy the website, no matter what goes on, the website is going forth 24/7. No matter what crazy thing is going on in our lives, it's still happening. And people are still able to read the studies, hear them, watch them, and you can even download them to your MP3 players. We are streaming right now. If you have your Real Player, you can put that link in there, MMS 97 89 83 34 colon 8086. And it's working, right? So everyone can see me. Hi. If you'd like to schedule me in, there's a link right there. It tells you exactly what it takes to schedule me in. I'd love to come and talk about the Hebrew roots from the Bible. And actually, what I'd love to do is do the Bible stuff all day long, but it just doesn't. There's so many other things getting in the way of everything. Today's topic is choices and decisions we make. You know, I don't know if you probably thought about this, I'm sure, somewhere in your life. Our lives are full of choices. I mean, we choose what school to attend, what job, what business to have, or what career to have, what bank, what grocery store, food market, what gas station. I guess, I didn't even put down everything. Where to travel, what religion to be part of, what to eat, who to marry, who to associate yourself with, medical choices, what house, apartment, city, state, or to reside in, what vehicle to buy, what clothing to wear, what hobbies you like, I guess, what recreational activities to participate in, and all the rest that I didn't list. I'm sure you can come up with a million other things, what this to wear and what that. And so really, without thinking about it, I guess every day is just full of choices, you know? The scriptures are full of choices also. From Adam and Eve, you know their choices, right? To Noah, you know what happened with the people that didn't choose to get on the ark, right? And then, of course, in the Samuel, and, of course, when they wanted a king instead of God. And then, of course, the kings, how they made choices, not most of them, not to serve the God of Israel. The judges, some were good, some weren't. The prophets brought their choices that God gave them. And all the writers, the choices, I mean, everywhere I was looking, there was choices. We see the consequences that are left, you know, from the people that made the choices in the Bible, right? I guess Adam and Eve is the biggest one. And Noah, huh?
Solomon,
yeah. The scriptures have many examples of what to do and what not to do. Again, choices we must decide, you know. In the Gospel of John, Yeshua says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And that's a very good example, a choice to make. Paul tells Titus, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." So we have a choice to be a good testimony or a bad testimony, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. In conversation, boy, in conversation, there's not a lot of holiness in that. Hebrews says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief." And there's a lot of examples of unbelief in the Bible. You could see people that think they believe, but they really don't believe. And Peter tells us, for even hereunto were we called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And that's the example we have, you know. We don't take vengeance on people. Vengeance is the Lord's. Here's a terrible example, unfortunately for these people. These are the choices they made. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example." Unfortunately, here's their repercussions. They're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That's horrible to think about. Paul tells the Colossians, or I think it's the, maybe it's the Corinthians, "Now all these things happen unto them," sadly to say, "for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So, unfortunately, we have a whole book of, besides everything in the world, carnally to learn by, but we have a whole Bible for holiness and a spiritual walk of people that did the wrong thing, of things that we're not supposed to do, and choices we're not supposed to select, right? All choices and decisions we make have consequences, some good and some bad. The choices we made in the past led us to where we are today, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. You know, think about it. Wherever you are today is because of all the choices you made. We can say at this time, or I could say, I'm sure you could, if only we had the wisdom of an older person when we were younger to decide and choose. Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be nice.
However, we should have had parents that were supposed to help us with our decisions and choices. It's sad to say most families are without the God of Israel and his words, the scriptures. We know that. So there really isn't any godly choices. The family unit is just about gone. There's no longer two parents. That's just the way it is. In the days we live in, there's mostly one parent. Mostly the mother is left who works and tries to raise the children. Most of the fathers are gone. In these days we live in, sometimes two females are running the show, or two males. Again, that's something the Bible speaks against. Most children are left to daycare centers all day. Too many children, no discipline. Kids are left to decide, make choices on their own. It's really sad. I've heard this in the news recently. Kids are threatening the teachers in schools. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
That's going on big time.
Big problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Drugs, of course, alcohol, peer pressure, bullies, vulgar language, sexual activities, and the rest are always there to help kids make the wrong decisions, right? And if there's no family unit to help discipline or correct, that's why everything's gone pretty amok there. Obviously, websites, television shows, magazines don't help people in the choices of how to dress, talk, and carry themselves, right? I was telling my wife the other day, we were trying to watch the one of the debates, you know, the presidential debates, and before that there was some lawyer, this lady. I can hardly look at her because the way she was dressed, and she was supposed to be conservative. And I thought, if she's conservative, then Playboy bunnies are conservative. And it was so sickening to watch somebody that they profess one thing, but their dress and what the way they carry themselves is contradictory. And that's Fox News. You know, I wonder what guidance counselors are doing in schools nowadays. I don't know. I never really go talk to any. They're supposed to be helping the kids, right? Sometimes you may be talked into a choice. That happens to some people. You might be pressured into a choice. And you might be left with, you think, no other option. Always ask counsel, right? However, you made the choice, no matter whatever the situation you think it was, there are still ramifications, consequences, which we will have to deal with, right? So you might say, well, so-and-so caused me to do that. Yeah, well, you still made the choice. Or some situation caused me, or whatever. You still did it. Godly counsel may help in your decisions and choices. Soon you'll have to choose a new president. Right? Look up counsel in the scriptures, by the way. There are many verses to help you decide to choose. I just put a few here. There's way too many. In Exodus, it says, "Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God will be with you." This is when Jethro was talking to Moses. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. In the book of Judges we have, and they said unto him, "Ask counsel, we pray thee, of God." That's a good person to ask counsel of. That we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. Right?
Sure.
That's a good thing to do. Ask God, say, well, should I do this or that? Or what's gonna happen to me? I know in Proverbs it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. Right? So without, you know, if you don't get godly counsel, you can't make proper decisions and choices. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The fools make their own choices and they end up falling into the pit. But he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. That's really important. It doesn't cost anything to, you know, get some advice from someone that's godly. Without counsel, I mean, purposes are disappointed. I mean, that's obviously true. That'd be like being in, let's say, even in the army, if there was no strategic advice of what to do, you can't just run out there and charge, right? You'd have to have some type of structure of a strategic decision. Hear counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter end. That's probably a verse I should have put at the end. Every purpose is established by counsel, and I only tell you with good advice make war. Make sure you have good advice. Most people fight battles that are unnecessary. Pick your battles, choose your battles, because there's going to be plenty of them in your life, small and big and whatever. Don't try to fight every battle. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, wise counsel, and in the multitude of counselors there's safety. And these people help you make proper choices, decisions. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, right? So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel, right? People ask counsel because they're trying to do something, achieve something, trying to, make a choice, a decision, trying to select something. Who knows? I counsel thee to keep the. I also counsel you to keep the king's commandment. and that in regard of the oath of God. Yes, that's good advice. There's way too many verses that talk about what Jehovah or Yehovah chooses. He chooses so many things, you wouldn't believe it. I looked at that word, I thought, gosh, the whole Bible's full of choices. So many ways to look at the Bible, and this morning I was looking at it in a different way, I thought, wow, the whole Bible is just full of choices. Numbers says, and he spoke unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow Yehovah will show who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he had chosen. Will he cause to come near unto him? So God chooses people. I'm happy he chose us, aren't you? He could have chose, think he could have chose one of your relatives or a sibling or one of your cousins and one of your friends instead of you. You could have been still in a lying delusion right now. Deuteronomy says, Thou art a holy people unto Yehovah thy God. Yehovah thy God had chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, it's nice to know God does a lot of choosing. And then it says, if the place which Jehovah thy God had chosen to put his name there be too far from thee, and the place that he picked was Jerusalem. He chose Jerusalem. And you can read the rest of that verse, but God did choose a land. It said, for thou art a holy people unto Yehovah thy God, and Jehovah had chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. Deuteronomy says, and thou shalt rejoice before Yehovah thy God, you, your son, your daughter, men servant, maid servant, Levite that's within your gates, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow that are among you in the place which Jehovah thy God has chosen to place his name there. For Jehovah thy God chosen him out of all the tribes to stand to minister in the name of Yehovah, him and his sons, to Aaron. He actually chose him. It was a choice. I mean, God looks there and he just makes a choice. Interesting. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them Jehovah thy God had chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of Yehovah. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. Looks like, what's this guy doing? Oh, so here we have that God is making a choice. So he's making a decision. I was almost a guest. Oh, maybe he's coming back. Oh, no, he's not.
He's not.
I don't know. Oh, they pulled in and they're pulling out. I mean, the sign's in the window what we are and who we are. But anyway, he made a choice just now.
Just made the wrong choice.
Everything's a choice. Right? It says, but he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. God makes choices for everything. He chooses people, individuals, city of Jerusalem. He said, and unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name there. So his name is there. Isn't that beautiful? David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them had Yehovah chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. That's why I can't figure out why people are looking for the ark. You'd have to be a Levite, and that's ridiculous. It says, and all my sons, whom Yehovah had given me many sons, he had chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yehovah over Israel. David had lots of wives and lots of children, right? And Solomon, his son, was chosen. He definitely, so many places where he said he chose Jerusalem, and he even tells you what kind of fast he has chosen in Isaiah. Fasting is very important. Matter of fact, the more I look in scriptures, I see everything is selected and chosen. I mean, really, there's chosen chariots, chosen captains, chosen men, chosen people, his chosen, the chosen, chosen apostles. He chose Zion, chose Jacob. There's food to choose, people to choose to be with. You could choose places and lands to go in Israel. You could choose what god or gods you want to worship. You can choose all the clean and unclean things that the Bible talks about. You could choose life, choose good, choose heaven, right? There's so many things you could choose, and even in the Bible, besides just carnally thinking about your life. The word bachar in Hebrew is where most of these words, the word chosen or choose, comes from. You know, it means to try, that is, by implication, to select. Applicable, appoint, choose, a choice, to join, you're going to unite with, basically, you know. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit. She chose to do that. And she did eat, and she gave also to her husband, which was another choice, and he did eat. Right? Everything's a choice. He could have said, no, didn't God say don't do that? In Deuteronomy it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, a blessing and a cursing. That's a good idea. Choose life, that both thou and your son may live, that thou mayest, and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love Jehovah thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life, and he's the length of your days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Jehovah swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. You know, I often think about that, the land of Israel. I went there. I thought it was going to be totally different than what I expected when I got there. The land's God's, but all the activities and the people are just like anywhere else in the world. So I don't know if God actually means that today, these verses, that he wants you to go there, because he calls it Sodom and Egypt in Revelation. Joshua says, if it seem evil unto you to serve Yehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's important. You got to choose who you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. Which ones you want to serve? In whose land you dwell? But as for me and my house, we're going to choose to serve Yehovah. Joshua said unto people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen Yehovah to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. So they made a choice, but they broke that choice, obviously. God in the heaven says, you have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto your gods, which you have chosen. You chose them over me, even though I split open the Red Sea for you and did all the miracles and the 10 plagues and everything else that you saw. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation, your fake gods that you chose. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you have chosen. And Yehovah will not hear you in that day. You know, I think about even our elections today. You know, it's so far from removed from Deuteronomy, God's elections. It was removed long time ago. And nowadays we have anybody ruling of us, ruling over us. And you might think they're good or whatever you might think. They're still not one of our brethren.
None of them fit this bill.
Huh?
None of them fit this bill.
No.
They aren't
brethren.
They're just...
Now, therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. He's saying it in a derogatory way. Behold, Jehovah had set a king over you. That's what you wanted. And that's what we got now. Isn't that terrible? Moses said unto Joshua, Choose, don't just send anybody, but choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. That's when they did that, the rod of God. Remember that? But notice, they don't just send anybody. He has to select and choose certain people. There's choices. If you think about it, when you read the Bible, everything's a selection, a choice. And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto Jehovah, I have sinned greatly with that which I have done. And now beseech thee, O Jehovah, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And when David was up in the morning, the word of Jehovah came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith Jehovah, I offer thee three things. You choose one of them, that I may do it unto you. Wow. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come upon you in the land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? Or there be with thee 3 days pestilence in the land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. Yeah. So David wanted some advice too. And David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hands of Jehovah, for his mercies are great. Let us not fall into the hand of man. Amen. So Jehovah sent pestilence upon Israel. Listen to this, because of David's choice to cause a sin, Jehovah sent pestilence from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 people. Can't even imagine that, could you? I can't. Can't imagine seeing 70,000 people die. See, at that time, they were all lived together. So imagine how, you know, it was probably right there in their face. Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt you between two opinions? Make a choice. If Jehovah be God, follow him. If Baal be God, then follow him. And of course, the people didn't answer him a word. They couldn't figure it out. He did show them. So choices are really important. Decisions are ever before you. What man is he that feareth Jehovah? He shall teach him in the way that he shall choose. So if you fear God, he'll teach you to what you should choose. That's important. That's really important. Everything's a choice. I mean, think about it. Everything that you do is a choice. You chose to come today. You chose to get dressed. You chose to get up. You chose to bring that food. You chose what kind of food. You chose. I mean, everything we thought, everything you did today was a choice. Everything's a choice. I guess I chose to give this message after it came into my mind. Right? It's amazing. Everything's a choice. I have chosen the way of truth. That's what I hope we all have done. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Amen. That's what David says. Let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. You could choose God's commandments. You could choose his judgments. Or you cannot. It's always two sides of the coin. You know, you can do one or the other. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. So if there was a choice to get understanding of God or silver, which one would you take? Yeah, understanding of God. Yeah, you get that later. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I notice that word rather has the same word, bachar, you know, as the word chosen. Proverbs is a very important book to read. It tells you how to live your life. He says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. And he sure has, you know. However, that's if you choose to do that. Because I have called and you refused, you chose to refuse, right? I have stretched out my hand and you chose not to regard it. But you have, here's what you chose. You want to set it not all my counsel. My counsel means nothing to you. And you wouldn't do any of my reproof. Well, here's what you get. I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear comes. And it's going to come upon everybody sooner or later. Sooner or later, you're going to have to call upon God. And whatever you did, he's going to do to you. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, that's just what it feels like too, I guess, when you're withering away in a bed somewhere, you know. It's like desolation, destruction comes as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, if you did good, God's on your side. He'll raise you back up. However, if you did, then you're going to call upon him. If you didn't choose his counsel, he said he's not going to answer you. You're going to seek him early. That means swiftly. You're going to need his help right now. But you're not going to find his help. You know why? Because you chose to hate knowledge. And you didn't choose the fear of Yehovah. It's a choice. You could fear God or just think he's a pushover. They would none of my counsel. They didn't choose any of God's counsel. They despised his reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. That's what they chose. And they're going to be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple is going to slay them. And the prosperity of fools is going to trick them and destroy them. Yeah. Some people say, forget that God. I got all the money. Come and follow me. But whoso hearkens unto me, if you choose that, you're going to dwell safely. And you'll be quiet from fear of evil. So everything's a choice. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of their ways, right?
Yes.
Messiah even chooses. He says, therefore, that's the Lord himself, Yehovah, shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Immanuel, which means God with us. And of course, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land shall that you are poorest shall be forsaken of both her kings. But I'm focusing on the word choose there, right? For thus saith Yehovah unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose, it's a choice, the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. It's a choice. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and daughters. And I'll give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. That's if you just choose the Sabbaths and the things that please God. I was thinking this morning when I was doing the study, I was thinking, gosh, if I just choose to do everything how pleased God, then I get a blessing. I mean, it's that easy, really. It's that simple. If you choose to do right, God blesses you. You choose to say the right thing, act the right way, think the right thing. Do, you know, everything's a choice. It's simple. Also, the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to Yehovah, it's a choice, they joined, or you could not join, right? To serve him and to love the name of Yehovah, to be his servants. Everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, it's a choice. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. That was, if you choose the Sabbaths, it keeps the Sabbath. I remember a long time ago, a while back, some man got up in our congregation. He goes, I choose not to serve the Lord. I choose not to keep the Sabbath. Very arrogant. And I thought, wow, that's, huh? Yeah, I mean, and he actually used those words. He knew it was a choice. He was like, I choose not to keep the Sabbath. Yeah, it's that's recorded. Just think, if I remember that, how much more God? Man, you guys, some of people, you got, who was there? You were there. Were you there? Carrie was there. Yeah, it was a Church of Christ. They came in when I did some ads on the radio. Well, what I can say is, but those people, are they with that forsake Yehovah? They forgot my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore, I number you to the sword, and you shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you didn't answer. When I spoke, you didn't hear, but you did evil before mine eyes, and you chose that wherein I delighted not. And I was thinking again this morning when I thought, gosh, if you don't choose what makes God upset, you got it made. It's that simple. You should test that. Choose what pleases God. Because God says if you don't, he said, I'll choose your delusions. God can choose things that are really severe. Just think, he actually chooses your delusion. I mean, he actually picks your punishment. He says, I'll bring their fears upon them. And this is why. Because when I called, they chose not to answer. When I spoke, they chose not to hear. But they chose to do evil before my eyes, and they chose that in which I delighted not. So if you choose that in something God doesn't like, beware, because something will end up happening to you. Sooner or later. I always, people do things. And I always wonder, what's going to, God, I'm not going to, I know you see this. I know something's going to happen to that person. And something sooner or later does. He that killed an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. Isn't that terrible? Yeah. I was thinking about, even today, all the people that were going to come here, they chose not to come for one reason or another that I'm not aware of. God is. We had people tell me that our congregation here was going to be so packed out with families and all kinds of people. But someone, which will be punished by God, discouraged them, and their choices, which they made, that'll fall upon their head too one day. Isn't that sad? Death shall be chosen rather than life by all their residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all their places, whither I have driven them, saith Yehovah of hosts. For a day in thy courts, all I could say is, thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. It's a choice. Wouldn't you?
Yep.
Yehovah says, Yeshua says, One thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. She had a different heart than her sisters, remember? Yeshua says, haven't I chosen you 12? I know what I'm doing, and I know one of you is a devil. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Yeshua says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. He knows whom he has chosen. But that the scriptures may be fulfilled, which I just said. He that eats bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Judas. Just think, Judas, knowingly or unknowingly, he was going to fulfill the scriptures. God just knew, like we were talking last night about predestination. God just knew what he was going to do. Didn't God set him out to do that? Or that wasn't his plan, but his heart was so wicked, he knew that he was going to do that. Isn't that terrible? He was predestinated to do that. He had no choice. Just because of his wicked heart.
He had a choice. He chose wrong.
Yeah. God just knew the end from the beginning. Isn't that amazing? This is really nice. Yeshua says, I've chosen you. You didn't choose me. It says, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Some people say, I chose God. No, you didn't. He chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. So he asked the Father in Yeshua's name. Amen. I know a lot of the people, everyone here probably went to a different church at one time. You always say, I chose God. Yeah, I choose God. No. He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Isn't that interesting? When I was looking in the Bible in this study today, I was thinking all the different people God chose. You know, he chose this person and that person, the chosen people and the chosen land and the chosen this. And it's just everything was selected. There was nothing random, nothing accidental. Everything had a specific purpose and a plan. It's an interesting thought and a concept of the Bible, huh?
Yes.
It's like I never really contemplated any of this. I started thinking, gosh, everything's a choice in everything we do. We're going to choose how long to stay here today. We're going to choose when to sing, right? You might choose to take a walk. We're going to choose, everything we do. And then, you know, we hope most of them don't have bad consequences or, you know, ramifications, right? Some things we choose are neither here nor there. You know, if I might choose to drink water or a glass of grape juice today, you know, that, whatever. Now, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but God has actually chosen us out of the world. Therefore, the world hates us. I know that. I know behind people's smiles, they probably hate us because we keep God's commandments, keep the Sabbath. Oh, we chose to do this. You could choose not to do it, right? But anyway, in closing, which is not a long study, but I hope it has a lot of meaning to you. My advice is before you choose, before you decide, before you select, consult with godly people, and your result may be brighter.
Yes.
That's good advice, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely.
Remember, the choices we make today will decide your future.
Yes.
You know, I always hear people say, well, you know, this happened to me, I'm here. No, it's your choices. Whatever you did is because of what your choices, whatever you are today is because of the choices you made. Right? In the book of Ezekiel, he said, say unto them, and I'm saying unto everyone, this is what God says, as I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked choose to turn from their evil way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Or anyone, repent and ask the, you know, repent of the sins, whatever you have, and accept God. Or I should say, let God choose you. Anyway, I hope you got something out of this message today, because it has to do with your spiritual walk. It has to do with your physical walk in life, too. You could choose what job to go to, what person to associate with, who to, you know, I mean, everything's a choice. Let's see. I hope everyone got something out of this message today. Let's pray and ask God to bless the rest of this Shabbat. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this message. Let it resonate in our hearts for the rest of our lives and the choices we make, the decisions and the selections. Everything that we do, Father, let it be to the glory of the living God and the edifying of the body. May God bless you today on the Shabbat. May you choose to serve God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And I choose to be in the family of God and to be with God forever. And I hope you do too. God bless you, and Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.